Espresso.
Dr. Einstein here, and you're listening to Espresso Coffee Talk. And it is good.
Doctor Who?
Coming up on Espresso Coffee Talk.
I resisted it all year. You know, I said, no, I'm done. You know, and it pretty much what I did, and I remember telling God, just F off. I mean, I used the whole four-letter word. I have nothing to do with you. And, you know, what did God do? He says, okay.
There's a book by John Bunyan called The Pilgrim's Progress, in which a man has to make the really hard decision. Do I stay or do I go? Do I stay in my seemingly perfect little world, living my seemingly perfect little life that's potentially meaningless, not knowing what else is out there? Or do I take that leap of faith and travel down that road that leads to everlasting life? So, with fears and tears and failures and baggage, he decides to take that road. This episode is about two pilgrims who've decided to do the same. We've called this The Problem with Roses, There's Thorns, because it's raw, it's unfiltered, and it's vulnerable. So, without further ado, sit back, grab your cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. What's shaking, Dan?
Nothing much, Jason. Nothing much at all.
It's been quite a few weeks for you, haven't it? Well, at least one or two.
It's been about a good month of, yes, a lot of stuff going over this last month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a lot of good stuff, but this month's been a very, very, very trying month, at least personally. But other than that, I'm making it through.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So, well, it has been for me too, to be honest. But that's kind of the sparking tonight's conversation, and which is diving into, you and I have been, well, we've been in conversation for years now. When I think we talked about that the last episode we did.
Yep.
So we've been in conversation for years, but now we're kind of putting this out there for other people to hear. And yes. Some of the stuff that we've been talking about, and you know, we've given some challenges and some charges to especially church people, and the idea of getting out there, doing some outreach, but you know, also living out your faith and kind of what that seems like for us anyway, what we see. And now it seems like, I'm assuming you too. I mean, we've talked about this, but now it seems like this is sort of like a time of testing. Like, it's time to practice what you preach.
We both laugh at this going, yeah, to say the least, yes.
To say the least. So you were telling me earlier today, and I don't need to go into detail. You can if you want. That you've been dealing with some health issues for, gosh, years.
Yeah. Just to back up a little bit, yeah, when it comes towards what we've been putting out, a lot of it's been thought-provoking and kind of hopefully some mental stimulation, but we've also challenged folks. Mm-hmm. And the hardest part is trying to, and we agree with that, is taking what you're hearing and putting it into practice. So we're not 100%, you know, we're not walking along going, look at us. We're shining beacons in the midst of this. We're walking testimonies. we're not. And to go away, yeah, there's things I've been battling with, not just for years, probably for decades, due to various issues with church work. It goes back to the church hurt, anxiety, depression, different things that kind of have kind of settled into the routine of who I am and how I think and how I try to survive. And most are not the best. So fortunately, I have a wife who helps me get through all this so far. She hasn't killed me yet, so... That'll be a whole nother podcast. She hasn't killed me yet. It's some of this stuff recently, about a month dealing with some stuff, but
yeah.
And I think, and I do believe, what's been going on is as a result of the decades of stress and depression, sure. and not handling it well. So I wish I could come with people all the answers saying, hey, this actually works. Mm-hmm. I falter on a lot of that. So yes, I mean, we can get into specifics if you want. That's going to be kind of your guide on that one, how specifically you want to get into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this last month's been a trial with many things, medical and other issues in our life that just kind of get thrown your way. Mm-hmm. So, and in perspective of other folks' life, it's nothing.
Right.
It's not life and death here.
Right.
It's more of, well, crap, you know, because just when you think things are going well, then it turns into a crapper.
Right. It's your world that's getting rocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Each person handles it differently.
Right.
And, again, in the perspective of things and in the whole spectrum of things, mm-hmm. it's not earth-shattering, right. But it does affect you.
Absolutely.
And so then it comes down to all the things you and I have talked about, which has made me think, okay, we've talked about all this. How do I put it in practice? Mm-hmm. And it's shaken the way I believe in what I do and how I've kind of organized my life in the last decades. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of shaking that up. Mm-hmm. And we can get into that. People may not know the whole story.
Yeah. So maybe what we'll do is start from the beginning. But the big teaching here tonight is, if we're going to do a teaching, that kind of take that sort of trajectory tonight, the biggest teaching is practicing what you preach, essentially. I mean, getting into this and just going, man, you know, we've been putting stuff out there. It's almost like now it's time to see. Put your money where your mouth is.
And it's interesting because I believe if you're going to do that, mm-hmm. that spiritual realm, God and all the realms that are there, well, then you can say it, but God, in his sense of humor, are going, okay, let's just see actually if they really mean it. Mm-hmm. We always reference the book of Job, which we do, but it's a good overall that, you know, things are going so well. Mm-hmm. You know, things can go great, your life, you're being blessed, you're da da da. And in 1 second, things can fail in a minute, which, in that story, and I believe it is a story, it doesn't matter. It's looking at life in general, that everything was going great. Great family, great success. Everything he had in one moment was taken away. And how do you respond to that?
Right.
That's the hard part. How do you respond when things collapse? I was just talking to my wife tonight when it comes to how... And she's not here, but I'm not going to share all of her story. But she's had, you know, when growing up and all the things she went through, she had some major trials she had to deal with on her own, mm-hmm. which has shaped her in the person she is. There's times I really wish I could take her brain out and put it in mine. She's able to look at the day and say, okay, I got things to do today. And the whole week could be collapsing around us. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't get stressed about it. She says, you know what? The day's got enough to worry about. Mm-hmm. If I let all the rest of this compound me, I'm going to be lost. So I'm just going to take this day, and then I'll let tomorrow come. And I keep asking her, how do you do that?
You're right.
Because I don't. I fail on that. I, you know, when the scripture says, don't worry, how do you not do that? So I that is a area I've tried to master for decades, and I have not mastered it. It's when everything hits, how do you handle it?
Right.
Are you going to commit to what you've taught all these years, or are you going to fold like a deck of cards? Mm-hmm. And we all do that at times. I get it. We all fail here and there. But I'm with you. It's like we've been doing a lot of this stuff, and it's almost like God goes, okay, let's just put some, you know, let's just put the rubber to the road here and see if actually they can actually live mm-hmm. what they've been teaching.
Right.
And this last month has been a real trial. And they're going, okay, how do I respond to that? And I've collapsed, you know, several times. Fortunately, I got a wife who says, you know, back it up, Charlie. But the last few days has been a little bit of a, just due to some events which I've shared have happened, mm-hmm. has been kind of an eye-opener going, no, wait a minute. Okay, that has put things in perspective.
Let's go back decades. Let's set the story, or let's set the foundation to this. So for me, we had, let's see, 2012 and 2012, my biological father passed away. That's kind of how you and I reconnected.
Yes. Because, by chance. We just did. Yes.
You were working at the funeral home that helped, mm-hmm. you know, we got all that arranged and you were a saving grace with that. And then I, you know, from there that sort of just sparked some stuff, you know, hanging out and getting together and talking, coming to find out that you've dealt with a lot of stuff up even to that point. And, the church hurt came before all that and, you know, some of this personal stuff that you were dealing with, but take me to the time, because you have a pivotal moment where things just sort of went
south.
Yeah. They just,
well, I wouldn't say totally. Yeah. I would say it wouldn't go south. It was a pivotal point where my faith started to take a downward spiral.
Sure.
It was an event, and I'm sure if folks have listened, they may have gone through this. Mm-hmm. Being in church work, helping people out, believing what you're teaching, believing, you know, faith will get you through it all. I had a dear friend when I worked in California, 13, 14 years old. Him and I were pretty close, hung around together. He was in my youth group as I taught. Mm-hmm. He got leukemia. And so they went through all the stuff. Church is praying for him for years. You know, he's going through chemo and all the things you need to do. Eventually gets to bone marrow transplant. And there's prayers. There's, okay, we're going to do this, this, this. And what happens is, just a little background, when it comes to leukemia and bone marrow transplant with leukemia, when the bone marrow transplant takes place, usually what happens is that bone marrow gets in there, it sustains the person for a year. Mm-hmm. So for a year, as that new bone marrow and all that stuff comes in, that in a sense, it resets the system. There's a year, really a year of grace, until the body begins to reproduce and do kind of, if I understand this correctly, and again, if there's doctors out there, you're wrong. Well, this is what I was told. So there was about a year where he was doing very good. Cancer was gone. But again, it's not until after that year or so when his cells start coming back in, whether the bone marrow transplant took. Well, one or two cells were missed, and it came right back. Once that happens, it's a death sentence.
Right.
So we go through the whole year. He's spending time. His mom and dad are just taking the grace in and spending all they can with him, because they know when it comes to this time, we still may have extra time if the if his body's able to break through and produce good cells. And if not, this will be our last year we can really spend. And that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It was that last year. It came back. And a lot of prayers, you know, Lord heal him, or take, you know, get rid of the leukemia. So the pivotal moment for me was, I can relive it, just going in his room, sitting with his mom and dad. We know it's going to be soon. Really, there's no chance he's going to come back. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting next to his bed. I don't know what to say to him. His mom's going, just talk to him, Dad. So, you know, I'm looking in his eyes. He's got a bit of a smile, but he's also in great pain.
Right.
And so I get done. I sit at the end of his bed. and he dies. I'm there. It was none of us. I mean, it happened. So we had, I think it was four or five of us in the room. And while I'm there, he dies. And if anybody's gone through that, it just changes you immensely. Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, if you're in someone's room as they pass, and there are things there that happened that could have strengthened my faith, just on the fact of what happened in that room as the moment of passing took place. Mm-hmm. But it was devastating. At that point, my faith took a downward spiral. And I was in church work. I was still actively involved in it. But at that point, I began to question it and question God. And I'm teaching this stuff. And I'm, in a sense, if you want to put it honestly, I was living a lie. Mm-hmm. Because I was getting more angry with God as the days went on, and as the years went on, and as the decades went on. Because after that, let's see, probably 6 years in California, and then I went back to Illinois. So probably another 4 or 5 years of ministry. And at the end of that, I gave up. I quit ministry. In a sense, I quit God. I said, I'm done. So at that point, I had to make a decision. And I still, you still wrestle with it. Do you become atheist and totally discount God? I never could do that. Mm-hmm. So I became more of an agnostic. Mm-hmm. Than an atheist. I couldn't just say there's nothing, but the anger towards God was profound. Maybe there's just nothing. Maybe God's not there. Maybe there really isn't a God. And it's just, we either die and we just kind of fade off, or there's something, we get sucked into the universe and become one with whatever the force is up there. That was, again, that moment in time, watching my good friend die at such a young age, took a major shift. I mean, yeah, where I'm strong in the faith to screw it, and in a sense, give the middle finger to God and say, I'm done with you. Mm-hmm. If this is how you're going to treat us, where you could have, I don't get it. So that, and I've battled with that. That's one of the, say, that's still, and I still have it in me now. If I face the Creator, I'm going to say, well, I don't understand. You're going to have to explain that one to me. Mm-hmm. Why?
Right.
I don't get it. Now, I will say this. Throughout the years, I have not talked to his family, but seeing him on Facebook, they have two other younger brothers of his. Both have excelled. Both went in the military. One went through the academy. Is doing something. Other one's excelling. I don't know, from Marines, and they were able to breach that and cross that bridge. It seems very successfully that I can see. I'm there. I haven't talked to them to see how it did affect them, but they seem to say, we'll make the best of what we have and make the most instead of living in grief and sorrow every day. Is make the most we can of life. And take advantage of not only that, but the two living brothers that are still around. Mm-hmm. To, in a sense, celebrate, which they have done.
Yeah.
So that would have been, again, that was, and I'm all my life, even with the divorce, that was the pivotal moment. Mm-hmm. Where, in a sense, it was like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So about 6 years after that, I got out of it. I was done with it. And I said, church, no more.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the story there.
Yeah. That's tough, too. I was thinking about, do you remember the Ryan White story?
Remind me.
Ryan White was that boy from, and you and I can talk Indiana because we're both Indiana. But
we are. Hoosiers, yes.
Yeah. Ryan White, was the boy from Kokomo who he contracted AIDS through blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so much hatred toward him and his family, because at that time, nobody understood AIDS.
No.
And everything that's attached to it. So they go to Indianapolis, and he has to go through all these treatments and whatever else. Makes national news. Anyway, dies in Indianapolis. But you look back and you can go, okay, what a horrible tragedy that this kid passed away. But man, the lives that he touched.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can look at that, same with my friend, the lives he touched. You can see that through the history of folks who have done that.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't see on the other side is, yeah, you can see the lives they touch. What you don't see on the other side is the folks that just can't understand.
Right.
Who just get lost in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
Death can be a destroyer of life. It's because you're losing someone who's dear to you. And it's just amazing how some folks can take that, move forward. And other folks, especially working at the cemetery, you could see the family members who took it. They remembered that loved one. They took the hurt as it is, but they were able to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And take that light with them. And other folks, whether they got out of it or not, all I know is darkness consumed them and they just were lost in the mire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the quandary of death.
Yeah.
I really don't care if you're a believer or non-believer. Everyone faces that.
Mm-hmm.
That sadness, that sorrow. It's just some can breach forward. I mean, my wife's done that when it comes to losing her daughter about 2 years ago. And I keep asking her, how you doing? How you making it through? She goes, well, you know, she's committed herself to raising the grandkids and putting all her love in. And I watch it. She just pours her genuine love
mm-hmm.
towards her daughter, towards her grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times, and I said, yes, she says there's times where it still hits. You know, she'll see a picture or she'll hear a memory or she'll read. I mean, we still have all of her stuff. She'll pull out something out of a box. And I haven't seen it, but she says, oh, yeah, I'll cry. But she's one of those that is able to see the best out of it,
mm-hmm.
as hard as it was and as tragic as it was, to say, you know what, I'm going to make the best of this, because her kids need that. Her daughter's kids need to see the love and genuine care, and my wife just doesn't. And I learned so much from my wife over the years. She's been a great resource for me when it comes to getting through these dark times that I have a tendency of going in. And so it's amazing. Again, it's watching different folks, because each person handles that journey, that road differently. I mean, it's the same thing with your dad and catching up with you. I don't think you're extremely close to your dad, but still, you lose a loved one.
Right.
And that leaves a mark on anybody.
Right.
It just does.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mark there. You're going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you either deal with it or you don't.
Right. So.
And for years I didn't. And for years I did not.
Yeah.
So
it's the year 2007, and I'm 24, turning 25 that year. 24 years old, about August, somewhere in there, August, September. My mom says, I had just put out this CD. It was my first ever CD. Wanted to record and knew a guy who knew a guy, kind of a thing. So put this CD together and got a whole bunch of them made, and just all different kinds of cool things that were taking place then. So my mom goes, I really think that we need to send this to your dad.
Yep.
And who I haven't seen in 19 years at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
Yeah.
You know, like you look at that and you go, what door is this going to open up?
Yeah. It's either going to be good or bad.
Right. So,
yep.
I'm like, okay, mom, but got to be honest with you. I don't want to do anything with this. I mean, if you do what you got to do, but I'm going to do what I got to do. And
yep.
So she does. She gets it over to them. And interestingly enough, my dad's brother from Seattle was the first one to contact me. And he reached out first. October hits. And that's the year that my cousin, Jimmy, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know that whole story.
Oh, yeah.
And which, to be honest, I mean, that's a story that you never expect. I mean, he was shot. That was...
Yeah, just caught in the crossfire.
And so there's all the stories out there. And you yourself are left with thinking, gosh, how could this happen to my family? And it rocks your world. You never think that kind of thing is going to happen in my family. I see it on TV, whatever. That's the kind of thing that's never going to happen to my family. It makes for a great story, and that's that. But then when it does, then you're left with going, oh, okay. You don't know how to feel. You don't know what to think. By that time, then, I'm going to say my biological father reached out. I say differentiate because for my listeners, I have a adopted father, and so who I consider dad,
right?
So my biological father reaches out, and long story short, we meet up at the end of that year. We start to sort of form this relationship, and then about 2 years into it, he is diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer and went into remission after maybe a year and a half, I want to say a year and a half. I'm not sure if that's true or not. Went into remission for a bit. It came back, and when it came back hard. And that was that he ended up passing in 2012, which is then when we hooked up. But also about that time, I'm sitting here going, okay, here's what I don't understand. Why did this happen? Not that he got cancer or whatever, but the first part of why did this connection have to happen? And then if it did have to happen, then why? 2 years into it, did he have to have cancer? And then, you know, it seems like there are a lot of unanswered questions. There are a lot of things that I can't ask him now, things that I would have loved to have known about, you know, the past, I guess. Maybe I don't need to know them. Doesn't matter. The point is, you still have all this stuff that you deal with. You still have all this stuff that you're going through, and you're asking the questions, and you're wondering, and you're going, this story just seems like it's open-ended. It didn't close. And everybody
at that time. Yeah, there's no closure.
There's no closure. Yeah. Everybody at that time went, oh, but this was wrapped up in a nice, neat bow. And, you know, you got to reconnect, and you got to know him for a few years and make peace with him and blah, blah, blah. And it's just got wrapped up in. No, it did not. That's where I'm going. Absolutely, it did not. It left this thing open, wide open, and a lot of not closure, like you're saying. around that time to having marital problems, realizing in that moment, and there's some other factors, but realizing in that moment, man, I do not have the companion that I need.
Right.
And I'm not going to say that that's her fault. I'm not going to say that that's my fault. It's just for whatever reason, not having the companion that I really truly need. And through that, then I'm going, okay, God, you have to do something here. This, I need that companionship, and something's got to give. I mean, we're to the point, and I know that you said you've done this too, but we're to the point where I'm going, I'm yelling, I'm crying, I'm yelling, and I'm going, what the heck? I probably didn't say heck.
Right.
Trying to understand this. And I think in that point for me then, moving forward, I begin to do the same thing in a sense. It probably took me a lot longer than it took you in going that, you know, I'm preaching this over here, but am I really believing it? Am I living it out? Am I practicing it?
Right.
Because to be honest, I'm at a point where I don't understand God.
Yep.
But looking back on it now, I'm thankful for some of those moments. Because when you and I first started meeting up and you were going through all of your questions, I mean, you were in a very, I think when we first started reconnecting, you were in a very hard place as far as
your, Oh yeah. It was dark.
Your faith and spirituality and whatever. And that was new to me, navigating that with somebody. Again, I'm 25 years old. 24, 25, and wet behind the ears and going, this guy's what a jack.
Yeah.
No, I think for me in that moment, in that time of life, it was like, I remember as a kid, and I didn't get know you much as a kid because, I mean, obviously you were in California, right. Vancouver, wherever at that time. But what I did get to know of you, I'm like, man, this guy is really cool. And then to reconnect and go, dang, he's in a dark place. How do you navigate that?
You don't.
And I sucked at it with you. But so looking back on my own stuff, I'm going, okay, I have learned a lot about journeying through genuine faith with God.
Yeah. And that's what he's wanting, is genuine, not fake faith.
Right.
God will deal with it. And he'll let you pursue that path. That's what I've learned, is God will allow you to walk that dark path.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, if you want to live fake faith, because that's what I was doing, I eventually had to get out of it. And we'll tell the listeners, there was a time in the midst of that beginning where I forget what we got into, but it really, it rubbed each one of us raw in a certain way. And we kind of dispersed for about a couple of years. We both got kind of irritated with each other because I wasn't wanting to listen to it. And again, you're probably wet in ears going, well, fine, go ahead.
Right.
So, and it just took that cooling off time to a point where we were able to mature a bit and reconnect. But, you know, it comes in mine, it was to the point where I was faking it. And I've always been a firm, and I told you before, you know, we were talking about doing this subject. I said, there's a few books in the Old and New Testament that have always been I've always enjoyed reading, and it really connects. James is one of them.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned I'm going to reread James. James is one of them because, you know, James says, you can't merely just listen to the word. Mm-hmm. You've got to do it. Well, I knew I listened to all of it, but I wasn't doing it. Mm-hmm. So I was, I was very much a faker. I was faking it. Mm-hmm. And I had to come to the point going, I can't keep doing this.
Right.
It's destroying me, and how can I continue to fake this? I could fake it well, and I did for years, faked it very well. But it was steaming and burning and boiling inside, going. So eventually, again, once I stepped out, I said, good, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. And there was a sense of relief going, I no longer have to teach the stuff that I'm struggling with and act like I believe it. Mm-hmm. So that part of me, because James is correct. You cannot just, and I think there's many folks in the church hear all this stuff. They believe it, but when it comes to actually putting it into action, they don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Or there's something stopping them. So there's a breach in this. And that's where I had to say, I can't continue with this breach. I've got to let it go. And I did. And the darkness consumed me. Again, I never got to the point where I'm an atheist, but I was very, 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 very angry mm-hmm. with God. And people knew it. You saw it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was steaming with it. So that's the biggest thing for me as I've gone through this journey. I'm still going through it. Is the extent of God's love, and I'll still say it because I told my wife this morning. I said, "There's still part of me that goes." And I've told her, I'm the biggest Thomas in life. I would have been Thomas. I need to see it. There's no way I'm going to believe this without seeing Jesus. I would have been right with him. Yep, Thomas, you're right. There's no way this guy rose from the grave. No way. Unless he steps right here and shows me, I ain't believing it. Mm-hmm. And I've always been that way, and I don't think I'll ever get rid of it. So there still is a fraction of me goes, well, what if there is nothing?
Yeah.
You know, and I'll never get over that. But I will say, as you and I have reconnected over the years, especially getting through the divorce, finding, like I said, you're still searching for that companion out there. I fortunately got lucky and found for me, my best companion. Because if I make something stupid, she calls me on it. But she loves me no matter what. I've even said, if you want to divorce me, go ahead. She goes, nah, I got too much invested in you so far. I'm not going to. So, and you know her very well.
Right.
She's as tough as nails. But she's a sweetheart of a gal. Mm-hmm. And she brings out the best in me. And I hope I bring out the best in her. But that's what I needed. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting watching all this as the waves kind of came up on the beach here and there, as I kind of put it that way, watching this thing kind of unfold is finding someone who will accept me who I am. You and I then reconnected. Mm-hmm. And it's been a growth for both you and I over the last 3 years to the point now where, and I got to the point where I never saw any advantage in prayer whatsoever. I said, you can pray your heart out. I went back to Job. If God wants to listen to you, will. If he doesn't, it's a chess match. You know, what's the use? It's either going to happen or not going to happen. Why pray? I mean, what's the use in it? And I really gave up on prayer. I did. I just said, there's no use in this. There's no use in it. It's a weight. You're talking to yourself. Mm-hmm. And the answers you're getting back is your brain talking to you. Well, it's only been recently that I finally engaged back in prayer. And I always believe, even when I was way back, prayer is not just, it's not just these and thous and it's, I hear so many people pray, it's the same prayer over and over. Bless this, thou this, love this, forgive this, and it's just blah, 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 blah. And it drives me nuts. I've always been a firm believer that prayer is base. It's communication. Mm-hmm. You pour out the love and grace. You also pour out the anger and frustration.
Right.
So just recently, and really just within the last week, due to some events going on and all this stuff, I finally opened up and said, okay, God, that's, your idiot servant is here again. And, you know, the relationship was broken on my behalf. So I'm back here, you know, at your throne again going, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, do with me what you need to do and lead me where you need to lead. I'm going to follow you the best I can. I'm still a stubborn little jackass, but have a little grace. And it's really due to, really, it has come down to the wife, and I'll just put, it's been the wife I've had and the friends and her family, especially, I would say, her mom. Mm-hmm. Her mom, from day one, accepted me into the family. And so no matter what, whoever my daughter, you know, whoever my daughter's going to go with, you're accepted in the family. So she was the pinnacle of grace. Her mom has just been the walk in grace. And my wife follows right behind in suit. But it's been her and her family, not mine, and really you and your mom. And us reconnecting and taking the time to say, where you been? Let's go through some of these journeys. Let's go through some of these questions. Just trying to answer some of this, the covenants and all that stuff, to restore that fascination, that love for, well, maybe it is like this. Maybe it is like this. And reconnecting and getting my that genuine curiosity of God, maybe you are who you think you are and who you really are. And then finding, you know, you and I have done a lot of research, and maybe we, and I believe the church has maybe 50% of it right, but most of the time they don't. You know, that's my view, mm-hmm. And they teach theology and blah, blah, blah stuff, but when it comes to the abstract stuff, they don't get into it. Well, you and I have gone into the abstract stuff. We've gone pretty deep in the abstract stuff.
We have.
Which is... We have, and we still are, mm-hmm. Which has rekindled that thrust which James says. Are you really going to listen to what you're saying? Which comes back to our major theme of this, is we can sit here and pronounce all these podcasts and say this, 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 and people are hearing it. But unless we're really doing it and putting it into practice, then it's just a fakery. Mm-hmm. And that's been very profound over the last month or so for me going, I think you and I were talking about this morning a few days ago, you know, we can talk about this all we want, but are we actually living it and doing it?
Right.
And it's just been recently where I went, okay, it's time to put this into action. Mm-hmm. Now, how? That's been my prayer. How do I put this into action, Lord? I've never lost my thrust for evangelism.
Yeah.
It's always been and always will be there, that thrust to let, but how do you do it? How do you use those gifts and talents and what we're doing? And I think it's just being honest with people, honest with God, with who you are. God doesn't care if you come up and cuss him out. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't. As long as you're coming to him saying, I need help and I don't see it. What am I doing wrong here? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. God's going to say, well, it's he may come to you and say, this as he said to Job, well, where were you? Okay. You can yell at me, but you didn't put anything together. You didn't create and facet the world together. That's fine. You can yell and scream, but yeah, I'll put you in your place. Mm-hmm. I still love you. Mm-hmm. Still love you and always will, but let's get...
Right.
Let's look at the reality of what it really is.
Right. And
I'm God and you're not.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the thing with Job. You're right. I mean, that's where Job, and here's what I admire probably most about Job is he's going, he allowed himself to be genuine enough. And then when God did come down and say, okay, hey, let's talk about this. And then he poses all the questions. Okay, Job, be a man, answer it. And, you know, going through all that, and God puts Job in his place. And Job swallows his pride, becomes this completely humble guy, and he goes, I was wrong. I was wrong. You're right. I spoke out of turn. I got mad out of turn. You're right. I am wrong. Please forgive me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's admirable about that, and Steph and I talked about this in an episode, is just I don't think that you can really grow until you are completely honest and genuine with yourself, because if the Bible is true, where I think it's Psalm 139, he says, you know my thoughts before they happen. You know the words on my tongue before they ever come into being. You know all that stuff because you search the heart. So if that's the case, he knows the genuine, raw, unfiltered me. Do I know me? You know, am I honest enough with myself to go, I'm peeved, or I am really struggling. I'm mad at you, God, you know, whatever. Well, I don't know whatever it looks like, but am I honest enough with myself? Am I genuine enough with myself? Because if I'm not, then I don't think that I can ever grow in faith.
No, and you can't grow. And we were talking about this earlier. You know, it's that pruning process. Mm-hmm. Pruning, and you were making that reference to when it comes to you and I both, we love drinking wine. We love understanding the culture of wine. And you had that this morning we were talking about for vineyards to grow and for wine, that bush, that tree, whatever it is, to truly produce the fruit it needs in its intensity to make it the best wine ever, they got to cut that thing way back.
Right.
To force it into kind of stress mode.
Yeah.
And if that's true, that's exactly what God, as hard, and I'm learning that, as hard as it is to learn, God is going to prune you if you need it. Mm-hmm. Some folks don't need it. They're still pruned here and there, and they accept the pruning, and they go, you know, that's the best thing for me. Other folks, I resisted it all year. You know, I just said, nope, I'm done. You know, and it pretty much what I did, and I remember telling God, just F off.
Yeah.
I mean, I used the whole four-letter word. I have nothing to do with you. And, you know, what did God do? He says, okay, mm-hmm. I will. And he did. I mean, God says he still is going to love you, and as anybody would, like family, if they distance, it's like, okay, go ahead. That's fine. You want to move off? That's fine.
Right.
I'll try to keep in contact with you. I'll try to reconnect if you want to, but if you don't, okay. If we're made in his image, that's what he's going to do. Okay. You're still a creation of mine, and you're still a beloved part of who I am. Mm-hmm. But if you want to try to make it on your own, I'm not going to stop you. And we can see that all the way through. The Old Testament has that so rich in that. Fine, you want to go on your own, but I mean, who's the Jonah? Fine, try to escape. Do what you got to do. You know. And runs and runs and runs where God goes, fine, I'm still going to track you down. And he does. I mean, it's quite an interesting tale. Is it 100% fact? Probably not. But again, it's like Job. It's a great learning tool on the longevity of God's love. Fine, you run all you want. I'm going to throw some things in your way to wake you up and try to get you to turn around. If you keep running, okay, well, I'm going to be patient with you. And it comes to all God, he just is looking for that servant heart to say, you know, are you done running? Mm-hmm. Are you done? And if not, just keep running. That's fine. Keep running away. But he's always, I just got to the point recently where I just kind of went, I'm done running. He goes, finally, you know, you're 61. Are you finally done running? Well, at this point, yeah. Now, then you turn around and go, I've been an idiot. And he's going to say, yeah. God's brazen up and say, yeah, you're a complete idiot. now it's, where do I go from here? It's, where do I take the same thing with James? And I was looking at, was this chapter two, mm-hmm. where it comes to faith and deeds.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what do you do with all that faith to put it in the deeds? You know, it's that concept. What do I do with it now? It's like, you know, when it goes, you know, which cracks me up in James where it says, you know, suppose someone comes without no food and no clothes, and you say, go in peace, feel warm and fed, and then kicks them out of the house. You know, what good does that do? That's what God wants us to take the gifts and talents and who we really are. He says, now I need you to put those in action.
Right.
And that's where I'm at now, going, okay, now what I've run and I've run out of room. What do I do now? And actually, you know, for the last few years, that's where it's been coming back to that, going, what do I do with that faith of mine that has been so dormant? Mm-hmm. What do I do with it now? Because mm-hmm. I don't want to just say, oh, I believe. That's just one part of it.
Well, I think...
And that's where a lot of people stop. They go, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you going to do with it now?
Right. But that part is, to me, the believing part of it is actually the journey too. Because kind of like you and I know you, but I don't...
Yeah.
I don't intricately... intimately in a innocent way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't intricately or intimately know you completely. That's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm to say, well, and I think when we go, I believe that there is a God. I believe that he's my God. But I'm still trying to get to know him. I'm trying to get to understand him a little bit better here, because there are some things that when they happen in my life, I'm sitting here going, what are you thinking? Like, why are you putting me through this?
Yeah. And the question, and one of the hardest parts, and I always have, it's like, and that's one of the questions when I'll get to God is why the non-audible response? Mm-hmm. You know, we pray, and it's a communication. But when you're talking with another human, there usually is feedback. You get a verbal or a visual cue that, you know, you're not getting this mm-hmm. with a non-physical being. And that always has been a question of mine, going, I don't get it. Because mm-hmm. we thrive on that. Humans thrive on that. It's how we understand the character of a person, understand where they stand, where they're at. And God doesn't feel he needs to react that way at this point. Mm-hmm. According to Scripture, that time will change. But yeah, it's when you're going through that going, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. And you're not getting a response back. It's like, okay, what is going on? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. My issue is when I say that, I mean, I'll say it a time or two or three or four or 10. And then for me, this is it's almost like, and I know that there are people out there who are going to, who, you know, they're not sure about this. I 100% get it. And this, you know, this is where I'm at in my journey. Every time that I say, Lord, I don't get it, or I really want to know this over here, it takes a lot of asking. And then finally, at some point, something happens, whether it's, you know, you feel that inner tug, that inner conviction, whether you feel that or you sense it, or you know, something, some circumstance happens that it makes you go, oh, or you have a dream that wigs you out, or,
yeah,
you know, whatever. I'm sitting there going, okay, crap. Now I wish I never asked.
Yeah. And God, yeah, he uses the non-traditional ways of guiding you down where you need to go. Because, again, it's normally, you know, it's not little. Again, humans usually don't work this way, how we're wired. It's verbally, it's visually, there's auditory, there's visual cues. It's not usually just wait. What do you mean just wait? You know, I'm not going to say anything. And then there's something else that pops up that kind of goes, oh, now I get it. Or right. Some event will happen. Or it just took time. Again, that's going to be a big question. Maybe I'll understand it. Or maybe that's what eternity is going to be, where you actually spend an eternity asking questions mm-hmm. and finally getting answers that you never understood. And, you know, for me, my big thing is trying to understand why my good friend had to pass away when he did. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand that. And I never will until I actually either see him in the afterlife or understand to God what happened. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But God will take that. I mean, I'm learning that, and I knew this before. God's got a big enough heart and he's got big enough shoulders to handle it. Mm-hmm. Does he get angry? Yeah, scripture says he does. I'm sure he gets, as parents get frustrated with their kids, I can see him getting very frustrated. He did the same thing with creation. Mm-hmm. He gets to the point of going, this is worthless. I mean, these guys, you know, we've discussed this. He gets to the point of going, there is no good into this at all.
Right.
Let's just wipe it out. And for some reason, someone caught his eyes. All right, maybe I can restart this up. So, yeah, God gets frustrated and angry the same way. He's able to temper it in a way that we can't understand it. But, yeah, I could, you know, as I'm walking down this journey of, you know, 30-some-odd years of kind of walking back on him, you know, I could see finally praying and going, finally, you idiot, finally, you know. It's about time, you know. What more did you need? And but God's got big enough shoulders and a big enough heart to do that.
Right.
But I also believe, yeah, he gets frustrated and angry just as any other parent would. He doesn't give up. I mean, which I found out, most parents, no matter what, still love their kids. And I'm estranged from my kids. Just because of some of the things I have done. Do I still love them? Yeah. Would I do anything for them? Yeah, I would. Even though, because there's still that heartstring there. And parents have that. But even watching my wife as her daughter went through some dark times, no matter what, if her daughter needed something, yeah, my wife would still be there. The anger was there. The frustration was there. Mm-hmm. The point of going, there's nothing more I can do.
Yeah.
But she still loved her. And she's now taking that love and just saying, no matter what, those grandkids, they're going to get everything that I'm losing from their mom. I'm going to give it all to them. Because I've lost my daughter. So what do I do now? Boy, she gives her heart And I'm amazed. At times I get jealous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you watch that and you go, I want some of that. Well, I get it. But, you know, God, and that's where my journey is at this point, is coming back full circle to what we're talking about. God says, you know, now it's to the point of going, okay, that belief is now back. Now, what do I do with it, God? Yeah. I don't want to just sit here and believe. What do I do now? Mm-hmm. And that's the struggle now, going, where do I take this now? How do I, you know, I don't want looking for anything grandiose. It's okay, God. I'm still learning. I'm still I'm still got some of that old nature in me that still kind of doubts you here and there, but I see where I'm at. Mm-hmm. What do I do now?
Yeah.
You know, how do I apply the wisdom you're giving me to wisely take this down the road to help other folks?
Yeah. And
what do I do?
And I think the inclination of other people when they hear this is to go, this guy needs to get involved in ministry, in the church, in a volunteer.
Get involved in church.
No. This guy needs to really journey with the Lord now. Now that he's back into this relationship of sorts with the Lord, he needs to journey through that relationship. And in that process, he'll learn what he's supposed to do. He'll learn.
Yeah. It's true. You are correct. To go back to the church, the statutes that it's set up, I can't do it. It would probably take me back.
You're right.
10 feet back there, one, two. Where I'm at, and I just was going over, what is this? James 4, and it kind of hit me. James 4:7, because it's true on this one, because this is where Matthew goes. God just says, all James says, this what God says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil.
Yeah.
Come near to God, he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, he'll purify your heart. You know, change your, you know, in a sense, you're changing yourself. Submit yourself. All God's saying is, are you done running?
Yeah.
Are you finally done running? Mm-hmm. If you need to run some more, go ahead. I'll let you. But when you finally go, I can't make it up. I can't continue running up this hill.
Yeah.
And he'll say, okay, let me come down the hill where you're at and let me help you up it.
Yeah.
What I'm finding is, and you and I had, I don't want to get into this, it's, there is that, and I believe you and I got into this, we'll get into this sometime when it comes into the counsel of God and all that stuff. That's a whole nother podcast we've talked about, which is a brand new dimension of mine, that we always think, you know, it's archangels and all that stuff. There's also archangels and other dominion folks that are fighting against God. So you're going to have them, if I've been in their court for a long time, they're not wanting to give up on me because all of a sudden I denied God. They're going, yeah, finally we got someone in our court. Mm-hmm. They joined our resistance against the Creator. And I've now stopped saying, you know what? I'm stupid. I can't continue this. And I'm now finding there's that resistance going, oh, no. You've been in our court for a long time. We ain't letting you out of it.
Yeah.
And so you have this battle going on where you're taking a switch and going, no, I'm going to go this direction. Mm-hmm. I'm not following what I said before. And I'm just letting folks know there's dominions that don't like it.
Right.
Because you're preaching what they've always wanted to do. We can overthrow God, or God doesn't exist, or he's an idiot or whatever he is. Good. Keep going down. You're banging the drum on our direction. And now you stop in the middle of the stream going, I can't keep going.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm finding that out. That other court is going, no. We ain't letting you go so easy.
Yeah. Well, this isn't like sports where you're signed on to a team for a whatever year contract, and you know, all of a sudden you become a free agent, and then, oh, well, I guess if you're going to the good side, go to the good side, and you know, whatever, can't do anything about it.
No,
you choose good or evil, and we'll just go, no, this isn't like that. This isn't, because the inclination then would be, well, then let me choose evil because I don't want bad things to happen to me. Bad things are going to happen, period.
Regardless.
You choose good in the end. Yes, you're going to have those forces, but now you've got good forces that are also going to fight on your, I mean, and they have to fight on your behalf. If there are evil forces fighting against you, and we've talked about that. We always reference Daniel going, well, there's this guy, there's this prince of Persia that's a spirit prince of Persia. And he's holding people back. And Gabriel's the one that says, hey, we wanted to get to you. We wanted to get your prayer answered and show you things.
Yeah, get that message. Yeah, get the message to you.
Yeah, we wanted to fight for you, but we were held up. This jerk over here was holding us up. We had to get Michael to come along and fight this battle for us. So to know that there are still, you know, you've got, as you're navigating through this, there's those forces of good that are fighting on your behalf too. It's not like sports. You just, okay, you go do your thing and we have to just accept it. No. I mean,
no, because that's where James says you got to submit and resist.
Yes,
that's the battle,
right?
Because you really, it's like being in really, it's like being in war. You're on one side, and you decide, wait, whoa, I'm on the wrong side. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anybody on whatever side it was go, okay, go ahead, go. Yeah, go ahead over there.
That would be treason. You got it.
That would be treason. I mean, it's the same thing if we, you know, if you studied World War II and all that stuff, the resistance movement who tried to get the Jews out. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Germans going, oh, yeah, just take the Jews, whatever, get them out of here. At least they're getting out of here. No. They were trying their best. Where is the resistance? So it was constant. That's war.
Right.
So it's just if your path has been down a path of I resist God, suddenly change course. Do you really, and I had to realize that recently going, do you really think the force you are fighting with is going to go, oh yeah, go. We don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not all going to be smooth sailing. And I'm coming to realize that, and I don't like it. Right. But if I'm correct in what I've kind of seen over the last week or so going, yeah, they're not really liking this. Mm-hmm. And is your life going to be sunshine and roses? Nope. But on the other side, you have that other group going on Yahweh's side, the creator's side, going, okay, he's done running. He's turned around. Let's help him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's get aid where he needs aid. And let's do the best we can to thwart some of the stuff that's coming his way. Are they going to stop everything? No. Mm-hmm. That's in scripture. No. Because Daniel wanted that. He needed an answer. And his answer got stopped. Yeah. Until Michael came and said, oh, no, we're going to get this through.
Yeah.
And that for me is a tough nut to crack. Because you want everything to be roses and, you know, and the problem with roses, there's thorns. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming to realize that it's not all roses and sunshine and rainbows and unicorns.
I think it's going to be the title of this. The problem with roses, there are thorns.
There are thorns, and there are. So I'm learning this probably, and the thing is, in my stupidity, I've known this all along. I'm realizing this at the end of this going, this ain't going to all be smooth sailing.
Right.
Because as I shift, it's like being in on a sailboat, you're going with the wind, you shift those sails, guess what? You're not going anywhere.
Right.
So you need help. You need the Coast Guard to go, I'm stranded out here. Mm-hmm. Well, it's easy to turn that sail back around and keep going the same direction. Maybe a bad analogy, but there's a resistant movement. If you were with the resistance and you decide to go, I'm done fighting with you. No, they're going to do everything they can to stop you. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to what James says. But if you submit yourself, resist, draw near, and humble yourself, you're going to move forward.
Right.
You're going to be blessed. It is, and I do not like, and this is where some of your church preachers, where it's all blessing, blessing, blessing. That's a load of crock.
Yeah.
Because Scripture never teaches that, ever.
Right.
I mean, I even talked to you this morning. I said, when it comes to prayer and doing that, Paul had some sort of something physically that was ailing him. They think it's eye. We don't know what it was. And he asked God to take it away, and God goes, no, not gonna. Mm-hmm. My grace is sufficient. Just keep doing what you're doing, but it's not going to be taken away. For some reason, God just went, no. There's a reason behind it. So Paul had to live with that affliction until he died. But he said, God says, no, I'm not going to heal you of that. Sorry, ain't going to happen. Head scratcher. Well, okay, well, that's interesting. And we have to realize that it's not all smooth sailing.
Right.
It's not all blessings and
no,
because, and rose petals.
Because there are things that happen in your life that you, and they seem to stick around like whatever, like a bad penny. But they're there, and each time that you deal with it, you learn a little something new.
Yeah, it's taking the hardships, because you never know the person you're going to come across might be able to, that hardship you've gone through is a turning point for this.
And I even think that goes, this is just my opinion. Don't, whoever's listening, don't take it as gospel truth. But I think this sort of goes with the struggles that you have with sin, temptation, all that. There's that element of it has to be there almost, because without it, you're not being pruned, you're not growing, you're not learning, if you're walking around and you're going, I'm sin free, I'm whatever, well, then you're back to, all right, well, I believe. Now what?
Yeah.
But the fact is, we are human, and we constantly, I think the Bible says a righteous man falls seven times. Well, why does he fall seven times? Because he's a human. He deals with stuff. He's, he's going to fall. That's there, I think that is with affliction, that is with other people coming into your life, and you're trying to figure out, why are they causing this? Why are they here, and why are they causing chaos in my life? Well, right now, God is showing you something through it. I don't know what. I don't have the answer. I don't know why. I wish they weren't there for you, but he's showing you something. Why am I struggling with sin? Well, I don't know why you're struggling with sin. I don't have the answer. But what I can tell you is God usually uses that to help grow you. You learn something. And by the way, then years down the road, or months down the road, or even days down the road, somebody comes along who's having that same struggle, and you go, hey, oh, I've done that, and I've been through that, and I've battled that, and here I am, and this is what I had to deal with. Whether you're comforting them, just walking beside them, giving them your point of view, if they ask for it, whatever, but God's going, this, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah, and it comes down to genes. It's faith in these.
Yep.
You have that faith, a strong faith. Now, what are you going to do with it? I mean, it's easy if, for the folks, I mean, I've done this, you get on a strong faith, strong-paced river in a canoe or whatever it is, going with the current's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Turn that thing around and try going up current.
Right.
It's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what faith is. Faith's a battle. There's benefits. It helps you grow. It helps you get stronger. Because if you're going to battle going to faith, yeah, you grow muscles and you grow the intensity and it makes you a stronger person. That's what faith does.
Mm-hmm.
So God allows, and we see this through Scripture. That's why I see Job as a good teaching moment. You see these things where bad things happen. And God goes, yeah, they do. And it makes you wonder, but God's going, are you going to run or are you going to ask questions and grow a bit? And let me explain some stuff to you.
Right.
Not easy stopping. And, you know, but God, again, God's got big enough shoulders to lie to say, I don't like it. He's going to go, okay, let's go through this.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's like a parent. You know, I just want to eat candy the rest of my life. Okay. You can do that. You're going to get sicker than crap usually.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stop you. Well, why? Well, I'm the parent. I know it's better for you. We may not think that, but there's a reason why they do it. God's the same way. So I'll let you do it.
Absolutely.
You're being stupid. You're being stupid. You know, and it's really going to harm you physically, mentally, spiritually. And he keeps trying, as a good parent, going, you need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes he'll throw a roadblock to make us really go, oh, he really means business. This is serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, and I did this in a message on a Sunday. There's that scripture where the disciples are out on the lake. Jesus is in the boat. He's falling asleep, but the storms or the winds come, whatever. The waves are crashing.
Raging around them, whatever.
And they're going, what the? Jesus, wake up. We're going through this stuff. You know, what's happening here? And you know, they wake him up and whatever. And his first line is, oh, ye of little faith.
Hey, and you little, yeah.
And
your children.
Right. And he speaks to the wind and the wind dies. And then therefore their problem, the waves, calm down. He didn't speak to the waves and the wind kept going. He spoke to the root of it. He spoke to the wind and the waves stopped. But the fact is they were in the boat with the Messiah and a storm came.
Yeah.
Which shows you that there are going to be storms that come. It's like you said, it's not roses and
strawberries,
peaches, and unicorns, and whatever else. It can't be. But when the storms come, here's the deal. The King of Kings is in my boat.
Yeah.
He's there. So now what?
Right. And the hard part is when you have those times, and I'm still battling, when you have those times, we are going through a hardship. You're going, God, I need you to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I will, but you're still going to go through it.
Yep.
My grace is sufficient. Just hang on to the boat. I'm still with you, but you're going to go through it. That I'm still battling with. Why? Because if God's the creator of all, that's the question we'll have to ask. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the answers will come.
Mm-hmm.
And I will always, and I've always thought, God, I, unless there's a miraculous change in my brain, I'm always going to be that way, asking why. And I've just come to a conclusion, God goes, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll accept you for who you are. And that's fine. You can ask why. I may not give you a direct answer, and I may tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, just keep moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm blessed by the fact that I have a mate who just gets that for the most part. All right, well, it's just today. It's a bad day. You know, all right, we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and I am fortunate to find, to have a, not just a wife, but a best friend who walks that path with me, who, you know, as that, I would say, when a helpmate, that's what Eve was, as a helpmate to Adam. I finally found a helpmate.
Yeah.
And so I'm blessed. And, you know, with your situation and other folks, will that happen? I sure hope so. But I don't know.
Right.
You know, I'm blessed. I'm very fortunate mm-hmm. to have that. And I wish I would have had that in my first marriage. I really do. And I blew at stuff there. And that's a whole nother, we could do a podcast on the things we've made mistakes in our marriages and all that stuff. Because there takes two to tango and two to get to a divorce. It's usually not just the one person. There's a reason why. Now, once in a while, there is a reason why one person is a complete idiot. But most of the time, it's two of you.
Right.
So I wish that would have happened in the first, but it didn't.
Right.
Well, I'm fortunate. Yeah. And God is the same. He's going to, I'll deal with it, but it may not be the way you want me to deal with it. That's the hard part.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
That's where it's really tough to go down going, you want it this way, but it's not going to be this way. You're going, yeah.
And I want to make it clear to people that, again, I've learned a lot over the years. In grown in that faith over the years, I still don't know or have some of the answers to the questions I had back then. Some I do, some I don't. And right now that has to be okay. I'm still asking. Mm-hmm. And in some cases there have been more questions that have come about because that question didn't get answered. And so here I am, I'm going, geez. I don't understand this. I don't get it. And I'm still looking and I'm still searching for that. But, and I know that you're the same way. I mean, there's things, even going back to the gentleman that passed away, understanding that there's still questions there.
Yeah, and there's still anger. And the biggest thing is God will accept your anger. Mm-hmm. Just because you're angry at God doesn't mean God forsakes you. He doesn't. I've learned that. And there'll still be anger. There'll still be frustration. Just because you're mad at someone doesn't mean you don't love a person. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to forget. And God will accept that with full extent going, I get it. I try to explain it. Maybe it's beyond my reach. Again, death does either good or bad to you. It just does.
Yeah.
So God will, for folks who listen, if you're kind of going through that anger phase, saying, well, God never will. Yeah, he does. Sure, he will. He'll take your anger, and he may explain it to you, he may not. Sometimes I'm too bullheaded to listen. He goes, oh, okay, just keep running there a little bit, and maybe you'll finally get it. And there's some things that you'll never get an answer for, and I'm still battling with that one.
Right.
You'll never get an answer. We want answers. We're just not going to get them.
Right.
But you and I, in the midst of these, are trying to figure out some of these answers. Are we completely right? Who knows? But it's trying to figure them out. Mm-hmm. And it kind of helps heal that wound. That may be there that you maybe don't have an answer for, or someone else. It's discussing that, opening it up, doing some searching. Don't just give up. Search around, see if you can find, surround yourself with folks who maybe push you in realms you don't want to be pushed. Mm-hmm. And challenge you in realms you don't want to be challenged. That's where growth, that's that pruning process.
Yeah.
And wisdom grows from that. If you read James, it says the thing, you know, having wisdom is getting through that, understanding, you know, wisdom is the true practice of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Knowing one thing and applying it becomes wisdom. So
that's right.
That's the key. Getting your knowledge, applying that becomes wisdom, and you can teach that to other folks. So, yeah, we don't have all the answers. Wish we did. Be great, but we don't.
That would be nice.
It would be very nice.
That would be nice. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on here as always, and I am honored to call you my friend and family for that matter.
Yeah, and ditto on that. I mean, this was an impromptu mm-hmm. podcast. You said, hey, you want to do it? And I said, yeah. And this kind of came together pretty quickly.
It did, but I was I don't want to say worried. I was just going, okay, I don't know if he's going to want to do this or not. This, because the things that are happening are so fresh right now.
Yeah, there'll come a time where I may share it, and I shared it with just three folks today.
Yeah.
What kind of some earth-shattering things that kind of took place, mm-hmm. and I'm still processing, like you said, it's processing it mm-hmm. and see what the further outcome is before I get into investing. Now, again, it's the knowledge part. The process gives me knowledge. If I can figure, now I see the outcome, that gives me the wisdom and say, now I can see how to apply it.
Yeah.
But I'm right in the midst of it. So
it's tough.
There's some interesting things going on that have never gone on that I ever have.
Yeah.
And I went, this is interesting. So mm-hmm. there may come a time where, we invest on where we're going with this. But again, life is a journey. Faith is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've just come recently where I went, I'm done running. And now I have another force going, really? You think you're done running? Okay. It's like, go ahead and try stopping, because we're gonna go after you with full barrels. And I kind of, that's where the knowledge comes in and going, oh, this is interesting. Never breached this before.
Yeah.
So anyway, being a friend and a family member and someone who has dared to walk down this journey with me, it's been very rewarding over the last few years, and it just keeps getting tighter. And I keep telling them, see, Jason and I live 2 hours away.
Yeah. Well, two and a half, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I keep telling my wife, going, we need to move.
Right.
Get up there and support Jason the best we can, but that ain't gonna happen yet.
Mm.
Yeah, to Ohio, the wonderful world of Ohio.
I was listening to a podcast. I'll be transparent. It was a Rob Lowe. Do you ever hear any of his stuff?
No.
Okay, he's got a podcast called, this is a bad plug, but he's got a podcast called Literally.
Okay.
And very unfiltered, just so people know if you're going to go listen to it. He's blunt. What is interesting about listening to his podcast is he does a lot of, seems like he does a lot of advertisements for states, like different, like he'll do a California one or he'll do a, but he does this Ohio one. And I'm like, what? Come live in Ohio. I'm going, what?
What? What? Yeah. It's like, go to Indiana. What? Yeah, am I missing something somewhere? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we're not in the hoppiness area. I guess not. I don't know. I guess. Because I'm not seeing it either. It's like, all right.
But if Rob Lowe says come to Ohio, well, then dang it, Dan, you need to come to Ohio.
I'm going to tell my wife right now as soon as we get out of here, saying Rob Lowe said we need to go to Ohio.
That's right.
And we'll see what happens. We may be banging on your door tomorrow morning. Let us in. Open up your bedroom. Here we are.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Well, I got one for you.
Anyway. Okay, that's true.
All right. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it every time we do this. It's always a blessing every time.
Perfect. Until next time. Did you enjoy today's episode? Why not subscribe to Espresso Coffee Talk? Stay in the know. Get some alerts when new episodes come out. Did you love today's episode? Why not send some love in return? Give me some stars in your podcast app. Leave me some comments. Let me know how I'm doing. Just please, Please be gentle. You've been listening to Espresso Coffee Talk.